Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to another week on the PGA Tour as we have the Valspar Championship and the Snake Pit for the last stop in Florida before they head to Texas as we officially kind of start countdown to March to the Masters, just a few weeks away. Great tournament last week. The players, awesome TV watch. Very costly collapse on Sunday for me personally, but still enjoyed watching it. It's getting even more entertaining as my little man gets into it more and more. We're on spring break there. He's on spring break this week. I'm taking off the rest of the week. This is late Tuesday night. I'll put this out around lunch Wednesday is my plan. He has camp in the morning, golf camp, and then when that's over, I'll edit it or try maybe edit it in the morning before we go and then post it around lunch. So should have all afternoon to listen, try to keep it short. I know there's a bunch of pods for March Madness and others going on, but I wanted to get this out anyways. But as he gets into it and watching it, and you know, he plays one and done and that kind of stuff, it makes it more enjoyable for me. And then plus, also, you know, him playing competitively, you know, he's picking up on things and asking questions, that kind of stuff. But we're both big Cam Young fans. Obviously, I'm an Oberg fan as well. He was my highest owned last week. He was my pick to win. Everything was looking great with about 8-9 holes left, and then it all kind of collapsed. Week was still all right. We hit the first round leader with Mav. It was a chop, I think 4 or 5-way chop, so profit, but would have loved it not to have been such a big chop, but we'll still take it. 4-1 on matchups on the week, so that helped the profit as well. Once again, shipped a showdown on round 3, so that helped the week out. Maine was ended up not being great, was looking tremendous with 9 holes, or not tremendous, it was looking very solid with a lot of upside with 9 holes left, both round 4 and Maine, but I had the 444 ticket last week, and so I was pretty significantly catching into it, and especially going into the day. I had a 5 of 6, had Knapp missed on the cut, that hurt. Also had a $200 single entry lineup that had a 5 of 6. It had Meisner, who missed on the cut, that hurt. That lineup got as high as like 5th or 6th on Sunday. It had Bobby Mack, Brooks. Those guys were charging early. It had Fitz. Both lineups had Fitz, Hovland, and Oberg. So those are kind of my core three. Hovland kind of didn't finish strong. He just was kind of there Sunday. Fitz obviously finished strong, and then we saw what happened with Oberg. But both of those had tremendous upside. I thought it was going to be a really good week, and then we saw what happened. And it sucks. And that's this course, though. The 5 of 6 hurt. If I'd had a 6 of 6, I still would have cashed, I think. You know, I would have. I mean, because I missed cashing by like 4 or 5 points. So if Nat plays the weekend, I'm going to get that no matter what. But still thought I was going to get in with the 5 of 6, mainly because I didn't have Morikawa. And so when you have, what was he? I think he was 45% in the 4-4-4-4, and he was 45 to 50% in most contests. And I was underweight on him. I did have him, but I didn't have him in any of my bigger lineups. I mainly just played him in the MME. Like the big $5, I think I had 150 lineups in it. I don't remember about the 25 and stuff, but I played him in those, but I stayed away from him. And I think I had him in one of my main 6-7 lineups, like the 250, 4 max, the $200 single entry, the 4-4-4-4, stuff like that. So I didn't get as hurt as most. So that was a nice kickoff, but just, the collapse happened. It is what it is. Hopefully he learns from it. I tried to rewatch it a little bit that night, and I still wouldn't have seen it coming. I know some say maybe because he plays so quick, it got in his head. I don't know. I just think pressure could be there. But, you know, he's been there a few times. You learn from it. It hurt. It sucked for him especially. But what really sucked, and I kind of thought about this a lot Sunday, and I'm probably going to use this going forward, and I think I even put it in Slack, that Young was one of my favorite plays, but I went hard into the AM-PM wave draw for the week. And unless it is a clear, like, 2022 Southern Hills type, or way back in the day, the Valero, this day and age, unless it's just something I just really feel is going to be clear and cut, the top 20, 30 guys in the field, probably easier to say like 8K and above, I don't know how much I'm going to consider them when I'm thinking about the wave. I mainly will use it for what we would call lesser talent, the cheaper guys, if I feel there's a pretty good draw, because I just think their talent can overcome some of that stuff. We saw it even at Southern Hills. Now, JT was one of the few guys in that bad wave that made it through the weekend, and was significant. Obviously, he won it with the collapse of another collapse that killed me. It cost me the Millie. I was winning the Millie at one point there with a few holes left. So with Mito, but I'd have been on Cam Young. If I would have paid no attention to weather, I would have had, he probably would have been, you know, top four owned for me for sure. You know, Cam Young, I still would have been on Oberg, still would have been on Fitz, Hovland, all those guys. So, and it's just something I'm going to think about, because I don't know. I think because of the way the tour sets up stuff and they try to keep it as level playing field as they can, those top guys, again, unless we just see like it is clear cut, a wave advantage, and I'm going to go all in AM, PM. Now, I did do PM, AM stacks in my MME stuff. So I had Cam Young in that, the $5, that kind of stuff, the 150 lineups and all that. I just, in that core six lineup, seven, I can't remember how many it was, I went all AM, PM. Maybe my mistake. You know, and you could, I guess you could argue the other way. You could go PM, AM on a few of those lineups, but majority of my pool did great, you know, and a lot of them were up there in the top. That's why my lineups, even though some were five or sixes, were still, you know, that $200 single entry was paid 50K up top. I mean, I was top 10, top 20 all day Sunday, until the end when Oberg fell, you lose those finishing points. If Fitz would have won, it still would have helped me, you know, 'cause I had him in that lineup. But Oberg falling that much and then, you know, just falling apart a little bit there hurt. So it's something I'm going to consider. And then we've seen before where we think we have the wave, you know, locked in, especially if rain's involved and lightning and stuff, where it can get pushed back and you really don't know. I just don't know how much I'm going to weigh it in with, especially the top talent. Something I thought about, you know, interested to hear feedback on that if you guys got some. But if you want to join, we got the Valspar this week, a couple of Texas stops, and then the Masters coming up. So if you join the monthly, you get all the way through the Masters. Plenty of talk in the Slack about college basketball and brackets and stuff too. All sports included. You know, we focus on college football, PGA, and NFL. Masters gets you 30% off. Any package you want, weekly, monthly, annual. It includes a 7-day week free trial, so you can go check that out. Of course, we're at Copperhead with the Snake Pit. Par 71, 7,300, five par threes, which is, you know, it's a little more of a focus with the iron play and approach this week. Always top 10 in tour, sometimes top five in tour difficulty. Snake Pit is 16 through 18. But there's other tough stretches on this course. The course is just tough in general. Bermuda greens, you have seen overseed in the past. I don't think we will this year. I think it'll be mainly a lot closer to Bermuda with the way the weather's been down there, a lot farther south than last week at Jacksonville. But so I'd focus on Bermuda putting. Tight fairways, plenty of dog legs. Guys do still use driver. It's a mix. I wouldn't call it a complete club down. Ones that want to and certainly position themselves will. But guys still use plenty of driver, so it's kind of a more of a mix, whatever suits that certain player's I wouldn't completely eliminate driving by any means. I think that could be a mistake. And again, tough par threes. So scoring on those par threes, being even on them, great iron play this week, and then putting, getting a hot putter, you know, like a Molinari type, you know, can get you to the finish line as well. It is a little chilly this specific week for Florida compared to what it's been. It's windy. Right now, I don't see, speaking of wave draw, I don't see much that would factor for me. It looks pretty up and down winds Thursday and Friday. It looks dry the entire time. Again, this is late Tuesday night, so we'll check tomorrow night on how things are looking. But I don't see much other than a little chilly in the mornings. It will be windy, so I think it's going to play tough. I think the cut will probably be +2, +3. Wouldn't shock me to see a +4, but I'm gonna, you know, somewhere in that range, +2, +3. And then I think single digit, maybe -10, a winner. I mean, these last several years, outside Burns kind of tearing it up back to back. A few years ago, it's been 11, 12, 10, 8, 10, 14, 7, 10, 7. So typically very tough. Now, Burns went 17 under back to back. 1 year he won by 3, won by playoff. But besides that, and with the weather not looking, you know, pristine per se, I just don't see the scoring conditions being there. So I think it's going to play tough again, grind it out, bogey avoidance, all that kind of stuff. Stats I'm looking at personally this week. Stroke gain irons, good drives, good approach, overall ball striking, par five DK scoring, and overall bogey avoidance with recent form, the course fit, and the putting per usual. 22 of the guys have not seen the course since 2020. Some majority have, well over 100 have at least played it once. We got 3 in the 10K, 8 in the 9K, 11 in the 8K, 35 in the 7K, 72 in the 6K. Highest price is Xander at 10.9, Hovland 10.4, and Batia 10,000 flat, and then drops down from there. So fairly balanced, soft pricing. I mean, no one in the 11K and above. You can build many different ways this week, and I think there is a lot of different solid ways to build. And 6, 7Ks are okay. There's several guys in there I like, so you can go hybrid balanced as well. I'm not super high on the top. Hovland would probably be my favorite, but I could see starting to line up with, you know, 3, maybe even 4 9Ks and going from there as well. Sweet 16 per usual. 3 I like and a bubble boy. Fade of the week, sleeper of the week, some gut fill plays, betting top 5 the pop and 2 long shots, and then my preliminary one and done for the week, and we'll get out of here. 9K and above, we will kick it off. I'm going to go with Brooks. Probably the only negative, I guess, would be, can the putter be strong enough to make it through the week? I think the rest of the game is so strong that I say so strong relative to everybody in the field and all that. I think he's playing well enough, looked good Sunday, had a great Sunday, that if he can just get a lukewarm putter, and because I don't think he has to get to 15, 16, 17 under to win it, I'm okay kind of looking away from the putter not being great. Could it kill us? Sure. And I think if he doesn't do well, it would be because of that. But because of the tough course, you know, him needing to be 5, 6 under heading into Sunday for a chance at that top 5, top 10, and at his price, that, you know, top 5 would be solid. And at 9,100, it doesn't have to be the first person in your lineup. So I like him this week. We'll see how the ownership shakes out overall. I don't think he's going to be super popular. There's a plenty of them that'll be way more popular above him. But maybe we get a 10 to 12% on him, which I would definitely love you even more. Hovland is a guy, the guy up top that I would go to at 10.4. Won here last year, obviously. Looked good last week. Was a little bit of a luck box, I'm not going to lie, which I was happy because I had him in my main lineups, but kind of came a little bit apart. I thought he was going to kind of pull it back together and finish strong Sunday, but, you know, I don't even remember what he finished shooting. He was still right up there, but I really wanted him to kind of creep up into that top 3 or 4, you know, and have it be Fitz, Oberg, and him kind of be top 3 or 4 would have been awesome. But I still think his game's coming, you know, not to the ceiling point, but a lot better than it was 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, that I don't mind being on him. again this week, and he'll be owned, but I think like Xander will be much more owned than him. So we'll get a little bit of a discount there and a little bit cheaper. Connors, ball striking, always solid, still looked solid last week. He also didn't have the best of Sundays, but, you know, probably in that 14 to 16% range. Click over here. Eighth here last year, 13th last week, 33rd at API. If we can get somewhat putter going, 21st here the last time he played before last year in 2021. So he's had some good results here. I like him at 9K flat. Bubble boy for me would be Fitzpatrick. Only reason for him is ownership. Depends on where else I go down the board on eating the chalk. I think him and Xander will be 1-2 in ownership. And I don't think I'm going to have much Xander. He's a bubble boy for me in a sense because the ownership's the main thing, and he's the highest price. With Fitz, at least I'm getting $1,100 discount, even though I think he will be right there as the top two or three owned. He played here twice, a miscut in 2023, a fifth in 2022. Looked solid last week. Second at the Players, 24th at Genesis. Stat-wise, he looks really good. 7th, 9th, 3rd, 8th, 25th, and 5 of the 6 main stats I'm looking at. Putter's up and down, but he can't get hot with it. Just another guy I like a lot this week. Bubble boy only because of ownership. If you're not eating chalk elsewhere, then I certainly don't mind putting him in. AK range, I'm going to go back to Hisasune, 8,600. Continues to play solid. 13th last week, 33rd API. Fourth here last year, which I didn't realize until doing the research. 33rd 2 years ago. So I like that a lot. One of my favorite plays this week at 8,600. Thigala, not a guy I play a lot, but I do think this course fits him solid. He's played here twice, a 7th and a 36th. He's got some form coming in, a 32nd, a 6th, and a 22nd. Last three tournaments out. He is a guy that I think will use driver less at this course, not because he has to, but because driver's kind of his weak point. And if he can eliminate that on a course like this, I think it helps him because I think the rest of his game is pretty strong. And we know he's creative, you know, around the greens and can score. So at 8,800, I really like him as well. Another guy I hardly ever play, but is showing some form a little bit. 8K flat, Max Homa. He's only played here once. He got a 6th place back in 2021. Last three tournaments for him, a 32nd, a 13th, and a 37th. Another guy that can get hot with the putter. We've seen him light it up plenty of times. I like him. I feel like he's on the uprise again a little bit, you know, rising. His game's coming back up. And so at 8K and probably not a ton of ownership, I think we can jump on him a little early this week in a little bit of a lesser field and try to get ahead of a guy that can be popular at times, but I don't think he will this week. And so at that price, I think he makes a good play in the core for us. Bubble boy for me would be Nikolai Højgaard. Ownership's the only reason for him. I think he will be the highest in the 8K range and probably by a decent amount, but deserving to sell. He's playing great. Continued solid play last week, a 27th, a 24th, and a 6th. He did miss cut last year. It's the only time he's played here. Solid in the stats across the board, 19th overall, 6th in recent form, 31st in putting. 8,900, kind of the best buy pricing, which I think the reason why you see a lot of that ownership. If you're fading a guy like Xander, and maybe even Xander and Fitz, then maybe a Højgaard makes even more sense, because I think Højgaard could be the second guy in a lot of those Xander-Fitz lineups, given the price range. So if the build is a little bit different, then maybe you can eat that 20%. And that's kind of why I mentioned earlier about Fitz. You know, it'd be more about the build than the ownership overall. But the reason for him, Bubble Boy, would be ownership only. Other than that, I like him a lot this week. So I didn't recap the 9K range. My bad. 9K, Brooks, 9,100. Hovland, 10,400. Connors, 9,000. Fitz, 9,800. 8K range, Hisasune, 8,600. Thigala, 8,800. Homa, 8K. And Bubble Boy, Højgaard, 8,900. 7K range, Meisner, I'm going to go right back to him. I know he cost me a lot last week, but I think the course sets up well for him. I think he's, but beside, and he missed a cut on the number, and he doubled, I think, 7 or 8, the second to last hole for him, or he makes the cut, and it probably looks a lot better overall. Played here twice, a 28th, a 26th. I like that a lot. He's 27th or better in, or 28th or better in all six of the major stats I'm looking at. 19th, 27th, 20th, 20th, 28th, 12th, 39th in putting. I think he's an awesome play this week. I like him betting wise. 7,400 feels really good. He's one of my favorite plays of the week. Castillo, 7,900. I'll go right back to him. He fought to make the cut. I loved it. Sunday was not good for him. The weekend wasn't good overall, but Sunday he really struggled. That kind of hurt. He was in my 4-4-4-4 lineup at $6,200. So it looked solid until it didn't. But he started the slow Sunday out with, I think he wound up shooting 4 or 5 over. But that can happen at that course. I think his overall play has still been solid right now. And at 7,900, I'll take my chances on him, and I don't think he'll be super chalky owned. So I don't mind Castillo again this week. Nyegaard, Rasmus Nyegaard, 7,400. I'm going to go to him. I haven't played him. I don't know if I played him much at all. 22nd here last year, 40th at Cognizant, 31st in irons, 10th in ball striking. Really looks solid overall. The putter's the main issue in kind of the deep dive, but he putted well here last year. He played well here last year in general, on the 22nd finish. And so for $7,400, I don't mind going to him. I don't think he'll have, 6 to 8% ownership. Bubble boy for me would be Sutherman. Theme of the week, I guess you'd say, ownership. Again, I think he could be one of the highest. He is on baby watch. Maybe that keeps the ownership down. If he wasn't, I think he'd be high owned as the 13th finish last week. Coming off the withdrawal, he was super low owned, less than 5% in most contests. Solid memory, finished second at the Cognizant. And so besides the withdrawal where he kind of tweaked something, two solid finishes, and he was playing well at API when he withdrew. So it wasn't like he was playing bad. 36th and 25th the two times he played here, which is back in 2023 and 2022. He's first in irons, first in ball striking in the field. If he can get the putter, doing somewhat well, which we've seen improvement, I think he'll be a solid play. If we could feel like the ownership's going to come down, maybe because of the baby watch, or we get a hint, maybe he says, I'm going to play no matter what, or I'll leave as soon as she goes into labor. Maybe we leverage that one way or the other. But for now, I'll put him as the bubble boy. Maybe because either A, the baby, or ownership concerns. So 7K range, Meisner, 7,400. Castillo, 7,900. Nyegaard, 7,400. And Smotherman, 7,400 as the bubble boy. 6K range, Jesper Svensson, 6,800. Made the cut last year, didn't do much with it. 64th finish. Missed a cut at Cognizant. Pretty solid on stats, though. 34th good drive, 2nd in good approach, 11th in ball striking, 19th in par 5 DK scoring, 26th in bogey avoidance. He's 107th in putting. But again, $6,800, probably be 2 or 3% owned. If we can get some kind of decent putting, even lukewarm for him at 6,800, I think the ball striking and tee to green game is solid enough that he could do some damage this week and pay off that price easily. 6,600, Stephen Fisk is next up for me. 28th here last year, 62nd last week, 37th at Cognizant, so a little bit of decent form. But at this price, 37th in good drives, 29th in good approach, top third in putting in the field, 48th in irons, decent numbers before the price, and probably a 2% guy and a 28th finish last week. I don't mind going there if you need to get down in the 6K range. So Fisk at 6,600. David Ford, 6,900. Miscut last week. I had some of him in the MME stuff last week, but wasn't a core player or anything. 32nd at Cognizant. Pretty solid in stats. 3rd in good drives, 7th in good approach, 4th in ball striking, 43rd in par 5 DK scoring. He's limited sample, but 14th in bogey avoidance, 115th in putting. So again, some of these guys that struggle putting, but they're cheap, and so it's just a matter of which ones you want to trust or look into. I'll do some deep diving tonight. Obviously, I put all the final stuff out tomorrow evening, but he's a guy that, of the few 6K guys I want to take a look at, he's one of them that I don't mind this week, 6,900. Bubble boy for me would be Blanchett, I think so you say it, 6,600. Currently showing as the highest in 6K range by a good percent. I like him. I played him recently. This isn't a week where I want to have the highest priced or the highest owned 6K guy when I think his game is just okay. He is 6,600, so I see that. But if it stays that way, you know, I would pass on him. I like him. But the reason for the Bubble Boy is if he stays, you know, clearly the highest owned in that range, it'd probably be a pass for me. Unless you have a pretty unique lineup and then you put him in there, that's certainly fine. But 6K range, Svensson, 6,800, Fisk, 6,600, Ford, 6,900, and then Bubble Boy Blanchett, 6,600. Fade of the week for me is Cootie. Killed me last week? 2 weeks ago, he really hurt me. I had some of them last week. Kind of went back to him, but he still didn't look right. API, he was one of my core plays, I believe, and he was horrible. Didn't look much better last week. Something's off there. I'm not going to trust it. And I still think he's going to be one of the highest owned in the 7K range. And so I'll pass on that chalk this week. Sleeper of the week for me, I'm going to go with Clanton. A little bit of life at Puerto Rico, I believe, is where he last played. I think he was top five. He's going to be a 1 to 2 percenter. Played decent here last week. Obviously a Florida guy. So I don't mind going to him. I like his talent overall. And if he's going to be a 2%er, 1%er, I definitely don't mind going there for sleeper of the week. Some gut feel plays for me. McGreevy, 7,500. He can putt well. I like his overall game. Pretty solid just across the board. What, yeah, 7,500. So you're not, you know, usually if you can get a top 20 upside, he's played here three times, made the cut twice. So solid, just, you know, nothing that sticks out tremendous, but for the price and probably a 4 or 5%er, I don't mind him. Pendrith continues to, you know, ball strike well, struggles with putting. He's missed the cut the one time he played here, but he's made three straight cuts on tour. We've seen the upside there. He's horrible putting at, I think it was API. I think he lost like 11 strokes or something. So at that price and probably low ownership, For the 8,300, I don't mind going there. Cantley, again, continues to kind of show signs at times. 32nd last week, he flashed a little bit. I don't think he'll be super high owned in that 9K range at 9,400. Xander, I like him, but again, highest owned and highest priced. I got him as a gut feel play. Mainly, he's like on the bubble for me because of who else do I want to fit in there? You know, I got Fitz as a bubble boy, Højgaard. Those two are kind of, I don't think I'd want all three of those in my main pool. Too much ownership there. And right now, Xander's probably on the outside looking in. He does have tremendous history here. And he's coming off, obviously, a great Sunday to climb up kind of a backdoor third, but 12th, 5th, and 12th, the three times he's played here. So I think that's, you know, that's going to drive the ownership. And he could push 30% this week. Kiefer, 7,100. Olson, 7,600. Davis Thompson, 8,200. He's starting to kind of show flashes. He still can't put it all together, but I still like his talent, you know, and he's going to be a low-owned guy that if you want to – and these guys are going to be guys if you're doing 20, 50 lineups type stuff. The other Højgaard, Rasmus, 8,100. Don't mind him. Brennan, 6,700. If you need another 6K guy, I don't mind him. Bridgman, 9,600. I certainly don't mind going back to him. He does it in many different ways. Sometimes he's hot with the putter. Sometimes it's, you know, the overall game. I think he was third here last year. Yeah, missed a cut 2 years ago, but third here last year. Form remains well. You know, he won at Genesis, but then an 18th and a 5th. So it's not like he's backing down. And I don't think he'll probably be decently owned, but he's going to be 10, 11% less than the Fitz and the Xanders of the world. So I don't mind that. And then Spieth, 9,300. Starting to kind of show some old speed signs. I'm not all in yet, but if the ownership's kind of just average, I don't mind taking shots there. He's got a decent record here, a third, a 28th, and a miscut 2 years ago. Betting top five of the pop and two long shots for me. Hitsasune, 35 to 40 to 1, depending on where you're looking. Smotherman, 50. Højgaard, 35. Nikolai. Brooks, 25. Connors, 30. Two long shots, like Svensson, 125, and then Clanton, 100. My preliminary one and done, I like Brooks, Hisasune, Hovland, Connors, and then Thigala is where I'm at right now. Got camp in the morning. I'll come back, get the pod either edited and then posted or posted right around lunch. Then I'll work on pulling stuff in. I am off all day tomorrow, Thursday and Friday from day job, real job. So I'll have some time, but then he has a team practice tomorrow night, golf practice outside of the camp. So I'll have to jump to that and then probably post all the final stuff when I get back from that tomorrow evening. And then as we're all diving into brackets and researching and stuff, you want to join us in the Slack and the site, content or full site, get all the tools and all that. You can do either or. Slack's included in both options, weekly, monthly, yearly plans available. 30% off with the code MASTERS, as we are basically 4 weeks away. Pricing's out on that, which is always crazy, insane to me. I don't understand the rush to get that out, but neither here nor there. Three millimakers, so that's awesome as well. I think there's a 3333, $100, and then maybe a $10. I can't remember the third one, but three millimakers. Always a great week, always a good time. Go ahead and join now. Get feel for the community, the tools, all that kind of stuff. If you have questions, reach out to me on Twitter. If you're already in there and you have questions, you can reach out on Slack as well. Hope you guys have a great Tuesday evening, and then you're prepped for Wednesday, and we'll talk to you soon.